Chapter 13. The word-bearer's ship took a long time to subdue. None of the crew laid down to be taken prisoner. They just kept fighting until the end. When their las carbines and auto guns gave out, they reached for curved knives. When those blunted, they clawed with their hands and teeth. There was something particularly pathetic about watching a mortal try to dent Ceramite with fingernails. Their fingers would shred almost instantly, leaving nothing on the armor's surface but long stains. For Zaven, it had been a monotonous task, cleansing that ship. He had none of Henrikos's fury to drive him, just his old dedication to performing his duty diligently. He looked into the faces of those whom he had killed, and saw ruined lives behind their eyes. Even as his bolter kicked or his gauntlets ripped, he wondered what must have taken place to fuel such zeal. Hundreds died before the end. The bridge levels were cleansed first, after which the long purge down to the bilges began. Servitors, who would work on no matter who was in charge, were left alone. Senior mortal officers were taken alive and handed to Henrikos, who fitted them with cortical dampeners. After that, they were acquiescent enough, though the slack expressions on their faces were unsettling. After Henrikos had taken control of the Vorkorda's drive system, they blasted clear of the outpost on Merle and back out into the void. The rendezvous with the Hesiod and the Sickle Moon passed off smoothly. The three ships made their way into the trackless depths and hung silently, invisible to all but the most powerful long-range augurs. It would have been good to head back into the warp straight away, but the Stormseer needed answers. That, after all, was why they had waylaid the Vorkorda in the first place. So Zaven stood with the Sugai and Henrikos in the bowels of the word-bearer's vessel. The vast chamber around them was perfectly circular, a vertical shaft that soared far above their heads. Words ran around the walls in unbroken screeds of flowing runes. Zaven could not read what they said. He doubted many could. The light around them was lambent and uncomfortable, and it had no obvious source. Obsidian black walls flickered as though licked by tongues of flame.
"What makes this different to the others?" asked Zaven.
"It's the biggest," said Henrikos. "That makes it the most powerful."
Yasugai nodded. His expression was bleak.
"I can't sense it."
Zaven stared at the object of their attention. A giant machine rose up before them, over 20 meters high and more than 30 across. Its surfaces were covered in oily conduits and pipework. Grills glowed with lurid shades, green, orange, blood red. It hummed and growled, sending plumes of smoke spiraling up the shaft above, and organic splatters of dark liquid stained every opening. The floor around it was covered in bones. Whenever Zaven moved, he crushed another one.
"Can you access?" asked Yasugai.
Henrikos looked up at the machine. Zaven could hear the whir of his ocular implants running scans.
"Maybe," he grunted. "Give me time. I don't understand a lot of it. They've bastardized some of the units with things I don't recognize. Is that sweet soul of iron? That's blood. They're cooling it with blood."
Zaven winced. It was hard to comprehend just what had happened to Lorgar's legion.
"How long will you need?" he asked.
Henrikos turned to him and laughed harshly.
"A few days? A lifetime?"
Yasugai placed a reassuring hand on the legionary's shoulder.
"Do what you can, brother. I am grateful."
Henrikos almost recoiled from Yasugai's touch before relaxing. He was still tightly wound. Putting the Iron Hands legionary in charge of a mechanical task was a good idea. It would keep his analytical mind busy, preventing him from brooding on other matters. Zaven turned to Yasugai.
"Then, must we?"
Yasugai nodded.
"Lead on.
The two of them left Henrikos alone in the circular shaft and made their way along the bloody, stinking corridors outside.
"Never suspected this," said Yasugai as they walked,
gazing around him at the filth scrawled on the walls.
"You?"
Zaven shook his head.
"I served with them once, years ago. Good fighters, but I never liked them."
"I thought salamanders liked everyone."
Zaven chuckled.
"Too pious for me. And their Primarch. I should not be disrespectful, but..."
They started to climb, back up into levels where the lighting worked more reliably. Mortal serfs in rebreathers and wearing White Scar's livery saluted as they passed.
"Perhaps we should have asked more questions," said Yasugai.
"Well, now is the time to start."
"I fear so."
They reached their destination, a pair of heavy blast doors, riveted and multi-panelled. 12 guards stood outside them, each in carapace armour and carrying a blunt-muzzled las carbine. They saluted as the two space marines approached, and the door's hydraulics wheezed into life. The chamber on the far side was tiny, just a few metres in diameter. The walls were covered in white ceramic tiles, and a harsh strip lumen hung from the ceiling. A vertical metal frame stood in the centre, onto which was shackled a word-bearer's legionary. Adamantium bands pinned him at the wrists, ankles, neck, and lower torso. He was out of his armour, wearing a harsh smock that reached his knees. Snatches of ritual script had been tattooed into his flesh, running down from his neck to his feet. He glared poisonously at them as they entered. The doors shut, sealing the three of them inside the chamber. For a few heartbeats, they stood looking at one another.
"Well,"
croaked the legionary, and a line of thick blood ran down from his broken lips.
"Your name,"
said Yasugai.
"Take it from my mind."
"If I could, do you think I ask you?"
The legionary smiled.
"Ledak, 256th Company. Yesser Takta."
Zaven leaned against the wall. Every chamber on the Vor Korda smelled disgusting, like long moulded organs. But these small rooms were the worst.
"What was your mission?"
he asked.
"Ledak, 256th Company. Yesser Takta."
Yasugai sighed.
"We have ship. You are far from help. Talk, and we keep you alive."
Ledak kept smiling. Zaven noticed that his teeth had been filed to points. That must have taken hours.
"Do you not want to live, Ledak?"
he asked. Ledak kept smiling.
"What was your mission? What was your heading?"
"Ledak, 256th Company. Yesser Takta."
Zaven pushed himself from the wall and drew closer.
"Why not unburden yourself, brother?"
he sighed wearily, looking directly at the legionary's bloodshot eyes.
"Ever since Istvan, it has been nothing but running or fighting. I'd like to know why before I do any more of it."
Ledak stared back. For a moment it looked like he wanted to speak. His face shone with energy, like a preacher about to explain the secret of salvation to a potential convert. Then the light went out. Ledak shook his head, bumping up against the metal rods on either side of his temples.
"Ledak, 256th Company. Yesser Takta."
Yasugai grabbed him by the throat, pushing the slabbed cheeks up and forcing blood vessels to the surface.
"Speak."
Zaven drew in a long breath. The whole business made him feel soiled. He had just about grown used to killing his erstwhile kinsmen in the heat of battle. To see one so close, wretched and vulnerable, that was different.
"Can you not do something with his mind?"
Zaven asked Yasugai. Yasugai, still clutching Ledak's throat, shook his head.
It does not work like that.
But the other one, on the station?
He was not prepared. It was deception, and a weak one.
Yasugai looked at Ledak darkly.
Arzek could do it. I have not his art.
Ledak managed to leer back somehow, with his face half crushed by Yasugai's gauntlet. A glint of victory shone in his eyes. Yasugai pulled his fist back then, letting Ledak's head fall forward, and punched him hard, breaking his nose. Blood spotted across the tiles, and Ledak reeled groggily. Yasugai punched him again, and Zaven heard the crack of more bone fracturing.
"Is this necessary?" Zaven asked,
glancing uncertainly at Yasugai. Ledak was a traitor and a killer, but still one of the Legiones Astartes. The Salamanders had never stooped to this, even with Xenos, and a word-bearer's legionary was far closer to home.
"We have no time, Zaven," said Yasugai.
The Stormseer's lined face gave away his own unease, but there was steel in his golden eyes.
"We come here for information, not for another ship. He will know fleet movements, plans. You have better idea?"
Zaven looked back at Ledak. The legionary was smiling still, though his filed teeth were black with blood. Yasugai withdrew his fist and clasped his gauntlets together. A pearl of electric blue light kindled between his fingers. He opened his palms and lightning leapt from his hands to Ledak's face. Crackling spears lodged fast, jutting into Ledak's eyes and sparking across his exposed skin. The smell of crisping flesh filled the chamber. Ledak screamed, writhing in his bonds, spasming and jerking. Yasugai kept up the pressure for a few seconds, pouring on more pain, letting the lightning dance across the legionary's body, before halting abruptly. Ledak slumped, breathing hard. He looked disorientated. A large chunk of his left cheek had burned away, exposing the sinews beneath. Wisps of smoke rose from his body.
"Do not do that again," said Zaven.
"Fleet movements," Yasugai told Ledak. "Communications. These things can save you."
Ledak's face hung forwards. He looked to be having trouble focusing. He blearily stared at Yasugai, then Zaven.
"Ledak, 256th, come."
Yasugai unleashed more lightning. The screaming was wet and gargling this time, hampered by a throat that was being burned away. It seemed to go on for longer. That was enough. Zaven drew his bolt pistol and trained it on Yasugai.
"No more, brother," he said quietly.
Yasugai turned, shocked. The lightning died out, and Ledak's charred face slumped again.
"You draw your weapon?"
asked Yasugai, incredulous.
"Do not make me use it."
The White Scars legionary hesitated, as if wondering how many enemies he truly had in the chamber.
"We have no time. They know deployments. We need to know."
Zaven nodded.
"We will discover them. Enrikos is working on the machine."
"You think they would not do this to us?"
"That is my point, brother."
Zaven held the pistol steady.
"You have seen what is on this ship. You have seen what they have become. You were as disgusted as me."
Yasugai shook his head in frustration.
"We need to know. Cannot fight without information. Cannot locate Legion."
"I agreed to join you," said Zaven steadily. "I will fight with you to find your Khan. I will die to do it, if it takes the war to the enemy. But we both have our Primarch's example. And when I see him again, I will not look Vulcan in the eye and tell him I forgot my vows."
For a moment, Yasugai looked defiant, as desperate as a cornered animal, The thirst for knowledge, for more speed, burned in his every gesture. Ledak coughed then, choking up blood and bile. His face was ruined, a mess of muscle and raw fluids. If he had been a mortal, such wounds would have undoubtedly killed him. Yasugai looked at his handiwork, and the fervour left his face. He lowered his gauntlets. His golden eyes betrayed a brief sense of horror, as though he were seeing the contents of the room for the first time.
"You shame me," he said. "For a moment."
Zaven holstered his weapon.
"I have lived with it for longer. That is all. At the start, I too would have done it and not cared."
He looked at Ledak's open sores.
"Become like your enemy, though, and he has your soul."
"Something Vulcan said?"
"It is something he might have done."
Yasugai drew in a deep breath. He looked tired. Zaven guessed that expending his power on the station and during the etheric teleportation had drained him badly.
"We need to know,"
Yasugai insisted. Zaven pressed the rune to open the doors.
"We will, Weathermaker."
"Time is against us," said Yasugai.
"Trust in Henrikos," said Zaven,
ushering him from the chamber.
"I have learned to. Iron hands are a strange breed, but believe me, they never give up."
He glanced back at the prisoner hanging from the shackles.
"We all have that in common still, at least."
The jet bike tore down the tunnel, roaring like a living thing. Shaban drove it hard, tilting over in the saddle to avoid the obstacles as they rushed to meet him. The space around him was tight, just a few metres wide in the sharpest sections, and spiteful with lethal polyps of metalwork. The machine shuddered beneath him. The drives thundered, the exhausts flamed. A bulkhead swept up out of the dark, and he angled hard. A crossways strut followed it, and he ducked low. The proving ring on the Chinzar was 5 kilometres long, over 2 kilometres on the straits, sandwiched between a pair of fearsome hairpin corners. It was little more than a void between engineerium zones, left empty by a legion that valued its fast attack speeders. Mastering a jet bike required hours in the saddle, and the skill could be forgotten, so the battleships maintained training circuits in their depths. Shaban leaned forward, adjusting his weight fractionally, tipping the nose to avoid a tangle of piping before gunning the power to pull clear again. Iron dark engineering elements blurred past. He might have been speeding through the heart of some forgotten metallic world. The bike responded well. It was the last of those that had borne him on Chondax, and the refitters had done a good job of dragging the dust from its filters and cleaning the blood from the ploughshare fairing. It took him a while to catch the sound of his pursuer. Down in the proving tunnels, it was hard to hear much over the echoing growl of his own steed. Shaban smiled and depressed the throttle. Locator runes sped by on his helm display, flickering outlines of red against a blurred backdrop of raw black. He saw the signal trailing him, a few hundred metres back, but closing.
"Try harder."
The end course switchback approached at speed. Shaban hurtled into it, refusing to brake until the very last moment. The jet bike chassis quivered, barely containing the enormous power booming from the drives. Only when the corner apex surged into visual range did Shaban jab on the air brakes. The inertia threw his body forwards. He felt the blood rush to his head. A heavy metal beam straddled the way ahead, and he rolled to one side to slide under it. Beyond that, the tunnel pulled sharply left, twisting hard round under the foundations of immense engine housings. For the first time, he heard the hammering of combustion other than his bike's, the grind of fusion reactors blazing away far above. In a second he was round, skidding tightly through the confined airspace before kicking the engines into full burn again. He had nearly taken it too fast. The jetbike's compensators whined at full pitch. The right flank grazed the tunnel's inner wall, sparking in the dark. He laughed out loud, picking up speed. The noise was exhilarating. He could hear nothing but the resounding beat of engines and smell nothing but exhaust smog. He glanced at his helm display. Still being tailed. Impressive. Siobhan boosted under a skeletal gantry before applying another full burst. A long straight yawned away from him, weaving between the vastness of the battleship's internal structures. He felt sharp. It had only been a short while since he had been hunting across the lava plains of Femus IV. His reactions, honed upon the backs of Chogori and Adun, were as reliable as his glaive. But he was being caught. The signal behind him grew, looming out of the darkness like a dogged ghost. He laughed again and went even faster. The end of the tunnel swept towards him. Even at 40% thrust, a jet bike could eat the distance up on a short track with terrifying speed.
I will lose you at the pincer.
Siobhan let the bike slide left a fraction before feeding it more power and skirting a jutting mass of burned-out cargo feeders. He skidded under the pile driver foundations of a big fuel conduit and lurched wide. The pincer shot towards him out of the dark, a narrow aperture formed by two close-knit brace columns. The hole between them was barely 3 meters wide. That was hard enough to thread under normal conditions. In the dark, hampered by the confinement and extreme speed, it was a pleasingly dangerous test. Siobhan accelerated, concentrating hard as he tore into range. Then his engine kicked, rocked by a stray exhaust discharge, sending him a fraction high. Siobhan jammed on the air brakes, tensing as the pincer's top section raced towards him. There was no time to do anything but duck. Ragged ironwork cracked into the top of his helm, nearly stunning him, but he smashed his way through in a shower of sparks. The tunnel on the far side spun drunkenly, and Siobhan had to work hard to control his mount. Gritting his teeth, he pulled the prow up, just as it risked crashing into a solid mass of adamantium deck bracing. He recovered position, but his speed had taken a hit. He opened the throttle again, only to see his pursuer shoot past overhead. The rider must have come through the pincer at insanely high speed. Siobhan laughed for a third time, lost in the glorious foolishness of it. That was riding. It would not have shamed the Kargan himself. By then the final corner was approaching fast, and Siobhan eased off. The rider ahead of him did the same, and the tunnel filled with the thick smoke of thrusters powering down. A few seconds later, the whole track flooded with light. Hatches split open above them, hissing from banks of angled pistons, exposing jet bike hangars in the vaults overhead. Siobhan continued to decelerate, coasting up to the nearest docking berth. He was still smiling. The rider ahead of him nudged up into a berth further along. Two segmented claws reached down from the roof space and grasped his jet bike fore and aft. The rider dismounted before the machine could be hauled up and away to the servicing bays, leaping over to a steel gantry to his right. Beyond the gantry stretched the main body of the hangar, immense, curving and brightly lit, swarming with servitors and speeder maintenance crews. Other Legion riders strode across the capacious floor space towards their prepared mounts, armoured and ready to descend down to the proving ring themselves. The claws descended for Shaban's jetbike. He leapt from the saddle as the machine was pulled past the gantry and strode over to the victor, worried that he would leave before he had the chance to congratulate him.
"Brother!" he cried. "Fine riding!"
The rider withdrew his helm with a twist and ran a gauntlet over his sweat-glossed forehead.
"You make it hard to beat you, Siobhan Khan."
Only when he spoke did Siobhan recognize him. The Terran from Chondax, the one who had fought through the grinder at his back. He looked unchanged under the hard lumens of the hangar, stocky, tall, his scar faint on his cheek. Siobhan had not expected to see him again. In a legion of so many thousands, brotherhoods came and went like summer sparrows.
"Torgon Khan,"
Shaban said, reaching to clasp him by the hand, surprised but not displeased.
How are you here?
Torgon shrugged.
The fortunes of war, he said. You will share a drink with me?
Shaban hesitated. He had no idea why. It was good to see Torgon again.
With pleasure, he said, smiling. Lead on. So what happened for you after the White World?
Torgon looked equivocal.
There was work to do in the canyons. We hadn't cleared them out. Not all of them.
He smiled ruefully.
Or it hadn't been done properly.
Shaban smiled.
Really?
They sat at a table in one of the Chinzar's many refectory chambers. This one was reserved for legionaries, and was empty save for the two of them. Even the White Scars, who were not as slavishly devoted to duty as some legions, took refreshment only sparsely between the demands of combat conditioning. Torgon swilled his drink in its metal cup.
They recruited a Terran woman after that. She has the ear of the Kargon, I'm told. There was some reorganization. Did you see fighting again? No, not after the last of the Hain were rooted out. Oh, sorry. It'll come again.
Shaban tried not to study Torgon too obviously. He looked no different. For some reason, the Grinder campaign remained vivid in his memory, even when so many other exercises had faded. It had felt then like the ending of something old and the beginning of something new. Only now was the shape of that novelty becoming more apparent.
Did it change things as you hoped it would?
Asked Torgon.
How do you mean? Being there at the end with the Primarch.
Shaban thought.
I do not know. We were ordered to Femus. We barely had time for our death rites. Do you remember Hassi?
I do.
He died?
Shaban nodded.
And Batu. Only Jochi came with me.
Torgon cradled his cup in two hands.
You took many casualties. That's the price of speed.
Shaban smiled ruefully.
As you warned me.
Torgon looked instantly apologetic.
I did not mean... I know.
Shaban took a sip of his drink.
I thought about what you told me on Chondax.
He caught Torgon's sceptical expression.
Believe me, I did. I have become an exponent of what you said. Your warriors were more flexible than mine. I have tried to teach them these things.
Torgon raised an eyebrow.
I am surprised. Do not be. The galaxy is changing. That it is.
Torgon stared at his drink, still taking none of it.
And what do you make of it?
That was the question.
What do you wish me to say?
You're the poet, said Torgon.
You have words for everything.
Shaban's eyes flickered up for an instant, scanning for mockery. He had never been able to tell, not with Torgon.
I trust the Kargon, he said. But you knew that already. He will understand more than we do.
Torgon smiled wryly.
He could share the knowledge a little more. He will, in time. I am content to wait.
Torgon pushed back in his chair, and the reinforced metal struts flexed under his armoured weight.
I admit it was enjoyable to see the Alpha Legion scatter like that.
His mouth creased at the corners.
Slippery bastards. I wonder what they thought when they saw the Swordstorm coming at them.
Shaban shared the smile.
They would not have had much time to think.
Torgon laughed.
True.
A silence fell between them. The clink and slam of menials working nearby intruded, echoing in from a capacious serving area. The floor trembled as a flight of jet bikes thundered underneath them, just a few decks down. Torgon spoke again, finally.
Shaban, what is happening? I do not know.
No one does.
You know we've been ordered back to Terra.
Batu?
And they're saying Russ has finally gone rogue.
not only him. Torgon pushed his chair back. I wanted to see you because you always said that it couldn't last. I remember you did. Shaban did not remember saying that. Everything changes. Lines are being drawn. Every time we consult star speakers, they give us a different riddle. But it'll come out soon. Someone is lying. He looked carefully at Shaban. And it's in the Legion, too. I begin to suspect. Shaban's brow furrowed. Say it. You came here to do so. Torgon leaned forward. Brotherhood. That's the tie that binds us. I saw it in the Lunar Wolves. They had groups, informal groups. They would meet, renew warrior vows. It was tolerated. The War Master, they told me, fostered them. Shaban listened. The War Master? So they said. It's a good system. It breaks down ranks. Information is exchanged. It helps with trust. You are in one of these? Torgon nodded. And there's nothing sinister. It's a fraternity. You must have had them on Shagoris. Warrior lodges? Not that I know of. Well, Shagorians are in them. They outnumber us now. That's the way things are going, right? Shaban didn't smile. He felt like he was being maneuvered, and that made him tense. You are part of this on Chondax? Well, I dip in and out. Have done for a few years. Some have been involved for much longer. But look, it's nothing serious. I was just reminded of what you'd said, and I thought you might be interested. We're all warriors. Some of the finest in the Legion are members. You'd be welcome. I could speak for you. Shaban took another sip. I have my brotherhood. Of course, as do I. It doesn't replace that. Then what is the point? Torgon looked nonchalant. Like I said, to talk, to share fellowship. Sometimes it's good to forget about being a Khan and just be a brother. Exactly. Shaban nodded slowly. So this is why you came to find me? Well, I heard you were on the ship. It seemed like an opportunity. Shaban pursed his lips. You ride a bike fast. I do not remember you riding that fast. Torgon snorted. I had to catch you. You came close to taking your head off. They are built for speed. It would be a shame to waste it. It's not all about speed. Yes, so you keep telling me. Torgon pushed his cup to one side. It's an offer, that's all. You know as well as I do the choices are going to have to be made. The War Master's sent his request for assistance. As has Dawn. Yes, after being silent for how long? When did Terra last seek us out? Shaban felt incredulous. You're Terran, brother. I'm Legiones Astartes, said Torgon firmly. I haven't set eyes on the throne world in 100 years. This is about what's right. Shaban looked at him steadily. The Khagan will decide. We could wait for that. Yes, of course he will. When, though? Torgon placed both hands on the table before him and forced a smile. I should learn patience. I know I should. Consider it a failing. Shaban kept watching him. Everything he had told Torgon was true. He had learned from him. He did respect his way of war. The lack of direction from the Primarch was disconcerting, almost as much as the inexplicable presence of the Alpha Legion had been. Torgon reached down and withdrew a casket from his belt. It's nothing much, but these count as badges of inclusion. He opened the casket and tipped a silver medallion out into his hand. Shaban kept his surprise hidden. Just as before, on Femus and afterwards, he did not like the look of it. Despite the moon device and lightning sigil, it did not look Chagorian. Chagorians were not silversmiths, When they worked metal, it was bronze or iron.
I have seen one of these before, he said quietly.
Torgon toyed with the medal. He seemed unwilling to let it go entirely.
I'm surprised. As a general rule, they're kept hidden.
Yet you show me yours.
Yes, because you're a candidate.
Torgon closed his gauntlet over the medal and replaced it in its casket.
You'd get one yourself. He smiled self-consciously. Just a token. Nothing more.
Shaban watched the way Torgon's fist closed tight and somehow doubted that.
I have heard of these lodges.
Of course.
I did not stand for any of it in my brotherhood. I thought the Legion was enough, and I have a token already.
He gestured to his scar, which in the Tregorian manner was deeper and whiter than Torgon's.
That is not hidden.
Torgon bowed.
I take your point.
Shaban sighed then. Torgon was not a skilled deceiver. Perhaps that was something to draw comfort from.
Hasek sent you.
Torgon raised an eyebrow.
That obvious. I went to him about a discovery I made on Femus. Now you turn up showing me the same thing.
Torgon spread his hands apart in a gesture of resignation.
This isn't a conspiracy, Shaban. Is it not reassuring that the Noyan Khan is a part of this? He was there at the beginning.
Shaban thought of Yasugai then. The Zadian Aga had been there at the start, too. Where was he? Shaban, like many others, missed his quiet presence at the heart of the Legion. It was no coincidence that matters had drifted in his absence.
Does the Khagan know? Shaban asked.
About Hasek? Well, that's between them, I'd say.
No, I would not say. If the Khagan knows, that changes everything.
I don't know, Shaban. I'm not really that senior. I'm just one of many.
Torgon looked evasive. But I would guess he does. Not much gets past him, I'd think. Shaban pushed back from the table. He felt fatigued from the ride and needed to cleanse his mind with meditation.
I said it could not last, did I?
Torgon nodded.
Perhaps it cannot. Everything is fluid. For the first time I can remember, we have no direction. We have nothing to hunt that we can see.
Torgon let him speak. Shaban didn't really know where the words came from.
You have not convinced me, he said. I do not trust the lodges. But we fought together. You came back for me at the grinder, do you remember? And I do not forget. So, I will come. I have tried to open my mind. This may be a part of that.
Torgon looked genuinely grateful.
Good, that's all I ask. If you don't approve, it's just between you and me. And I don't talk.
Will they not know me?
We wear hoods,
said Torgon, looking a little shamefaced.
All rather theatrical, but it helps at the beginning. No one need know you.
I see. I'm glad, Shaban. Truly I am. This, the whole thing, it is about the warrior spirit. I know you have it. I've witnessed it.
You may again, said Shaban dryly. Torgon grinned. He looked relieved.
It would be an honour.